Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 325. Christopher, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing very good, Kevin. How are you? How's the wedding planning going?
Good. There is at least a little bit of a lull here after having to do the head count. But I did bottle the last beer. The pumpkin porter is in bottles. It will be ready just barely in time for the wedding.
Very, very good.
So, and it was still tasting good. coming out of the secondary. Because there was just a little bit extra that I had that I did not have enough bottles for, so I just tried it out. So it was a little flat, but still good. So there is that. Very excited about that one. This week, the test out beer is the 5C Pale Ale. Making sure that that still passes the muster to be served at said event. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't had a drink of it quite yet, but it still smells good.
Nice. Good. Glad to hear.
So, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to hope that I'm going to get a high rating for this wedding.
Nice segue. Nice.
Yeah, and speaking of ratings, the WWE, they are, you know, going down further in the ratings slide.
Yeah,
here.
This would be the point of the show if we were a real radio show, that we would play Tom Petty's Free Falling as a drop, but no, we don't have that kind of budget here.
We don't need that kind of budget. That's just complete silliness.
I might have to bring my own cowbell in starting next week, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we can start adding music to really pep things up around here.
But yeah, it seems like a regular occurrence. Lowest rating in 18 years, which would be put them right there in the middle of 1997 and when they were getting trounced by Nitro during the Monday Night War. Average rating of about 3.2, well, it's not really ratings anymore, it's households. Households of 3.2 million. Third hour teetering at just above 3 million. So, an hour or even maybe an entire show average dropping below 3 million is becoming more and more of a possibility, especially as we get, travel further through WWE's fall doldrums while other things on, particularly things that appeal to the, the WWE's tip demographic, such as, Monday Night Football, baseball playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I was certainly a victim of that. I got the Raw much later than normal this week. That for me, that's one of those things that, I guess I don't really watch that many matchups on ESPN. To me, it just impacts a household that might watch Raw once every now and again. Like, I'll peek in on the game if I'm caught up on Raw. But other than that, I really don't watch the Monday night game if the Steelers aren't playing. So, and I don't know how many people are that dedicated to Monday night, and maybe it's just because I don't know that many people that are that dedicated to Monday night football. That
there obviously must be. I mean, obviously the Monday night football fluctuates with the quality of the game that's on, and how big market the teams are that are playing. But every year around this time of year, WWE does take a hit. Obviously, this year is the bigger hit than usual, but then again, you know, ratings patterns throughout the year are also, I mean, in the end of the day, no matter what else is on, what else is going on in the world, what day it is, it's the product.
Oh.
That WWE's putting out. That is the problem.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, for me, the problem is in the writing. Like, I continue to lament the quality of the in-ring work is just going to waste at the current moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point, and it's certainly not the talent right now. They have plenty of talented guys on that roster in the ring, but in the end of the day, in the ring is, I hate to say it's the least important part, but it as far as what draws people to the screen, you know, it is good characters, good storytelling, and that's definitely not what's going on right now. If this ratings, you know, it seemed as this week's ratings pattern seemed to show that people really started tuning out in the second hour and then into the third hour, which basically means to me, once John Cena's segment, you know, came and went, so did a lot of viewers. And, you know, it doesn't vouch well for Roman Reigns. It doesn't vouch well for Seth Rollins, you know, that people, you know, in people's view of these guys as stars.
yeah, and it's, I told Jeremy that I thought it was kind of interesting because the last few events that I've gone to in person, I've seen more people here. Which I don't, it's kind of weird to me that the live events are doing pretty well, but the viewing is lower.
Oh, there's a thing that, you know, once again, WWE will always have, I think, I made a post on Twitter a few weeks back about how, you know, after I went to Comic-Con in Chicago, about how WWE is now, you know, seeped into, you know, geek culture now. So when geek culture, it's maybe not the most amount of people watching, but you'll still always have people, you know, willing to spend money on the product. It's still, you know, it's again, and plus, you only go to a town 2, 3, 4 times a year. You know, it becomes just a big social thing. It almost doesn't even matter, you know, who's on the card. I mean, wrestling, you could argue wrestling's popularity we could easily make the argument wrestling's popularity is at an all-time low, but, you know, absolutely the amount of people watching wrestling has never been lower, because, you know, 20 years ago you had WWF fans and WCW fans, and it's been well documented that WCW had about 3 million viewers towards even in its dying days that never went to Raw. No one knows where those people went. They didn't go to TNA. They didn't fluctuate to TNA either. So, you know,
right.
Again, there's less people watching wrestling than possibly ever, because wrestling's been popular on TV literally since, you know, the beginning of television as a medium.
Right.
But at the same time, once again, WWE, I think business is still fairly strong. It's a thing of, you know, they say The Walking Dead is the most popular show on television. But it's not the most watched show on television. That's NCIS, I think.
Oh, right.
But NCIS has an older audience that just shows up, that just watches the show and moves on with their life. Walking Dead, meanwhile, has an audience of people who just live for this show. They'll buy anything with the characters, or, you know, anything with branded with Walking Dead on it. They'll go to these cons and try to meet the actors. You know, it's a whole big thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I think WWE is still very popular, obviously, as I guess maybe something we'll talk about in a little bit. They've got people like ESPN fooled that they're, you know, a hot topic, as apparently some point tonight, you know, that during this hour that we're on the air, not we're recording here, Seth Rollins is going to be on ESPN SportsCenter with Jonathan Coachman and make a major announcement about WWE and ESPN's relationship. We have, you know, things like, I'm rambling a little bit here, but you know, we got things like, you know,
right,
you know, mainstream news outlets like Deadspin and, you know, and whatnot, you know, actually, you know, have like AV Club and IGN. They actually have dedicated wrestling reporters now. So it's, you know, it's got, as far as being part of pop culture, geek culture, wrestling's doing pretty well right now. But as far as, you know, obviously there have been more people.
Yeah.
Never been less actual people watching wrestling.
Yeah, I guess I just find that very interesting. Like, it's, you know, it's just very accepted now in that geek culture way.
Yeah, and just in general, you know, there's younger people in the newsrooms at mainstream, you know, at publications and websites and even, you know, TV stations now. You know,
that lived through the Monday Night Wars as teenagers.
There's people who still think, you know, wrestling is stupid. They just don't enjoy it. But less than ever, as a wrestling fan, I don't know about you, but you get less of that, you know, it's fake, right there, type stuff.
Yeah, you definitely don't get the, what was I going to say? you know that's fake, right? That's, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. Honestly, even in the, you know, when I was in college watching wrestling, you know, in 99, I still got that question a lot. These days, no one even really looks at you sideways if you say that.
It's become I mean, once again, you watch it or you don't, you like it or you don't, but it has become an accepted as a performance art, as a form of entertainment. At least given that respect.
Right.
During the peak of the Monday Night War, you had that attitude from people. And a lot of it was from, like, aging, you know, sports reporters and you know, people at the editorial desk, you know, just had this negative attitude of wrestling because they grew up in an era when it was pretending, it was totally pretending to be real, and they thought it was a joke.
Right, and now that everyone's in on the joke, everyone's okay with it.
Right.
Because it's literally everyone is in on it now.
But, of course, you know...
To some extent.
But, of course, these declining numbers, I mean, it's not to say that, you know, that these declining numbers aren't a concern. I mean, if people stop watching the shows, it hurts to build new fans. It's not like, you know, these franchises, let, you know, these pop culture geek franchises can't come crumbling down. You know, they come crumbling down very, very quickly. So it's definitely an issue, and they definitely, I mean, Raw has needed a facelift and a makeover for years and years now. I mean, it literally looks and feels the same as it did in 1997. And that's ridiculous. It's almost 20, it's been almost 20 years of the rampway, the Titan, just you know, I mean, a lot of it, it's like, and you're an architecture guy, I know, and how, you know, all these arenas in the country now all look the same, and none of them look, so it's not totally WWE's fault, but the way WWE just lays out every arena every week just looks exactly the same. You can never tell where they are.
But you still have a lot of space to work with. And I mean, I guess I haven't ever thought about reimagining the set. And they really haven't done it in quite a while. I mean, they've made some subtle little changes here and there, but for the most part, they've had the big board with the wavy lights underneath for quite a while now.
Yeah, and of course, granted, I mean, 3 hours is a killer, but we've gone over the reasons why that, you know, USA's paying them for it, and to USA, an hour of Raw is better than an hour of anything else that they could put on that time slot. Even if they don't get, you know, even if they don't get the same amount of advertising, USA Raw is what keeps USA in the hunt for number one every year after year.
Right.
That's the value of USA.
Right. It's not going away. So again, like, I guess I just think that it's kind of weird. Like, it's really not in fear of being pushed out of the way because of those reasons. So, I mean, you obviously want more eyes, but, you know, they're like, I mean, I guess we keep on saying, really, they're in a still in a good spot with how everything's going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, there are issues. It's the same issues for a year about, you know, new talent and finding, you know, new top guys, especially with guys like Cena and Orton, kind of, you know, peering over that gates, you know, seeing what's on, you know, the other side, if the grass is really greener. We definitely need some new blood in here. You can't keep dragging The Rock back. You can't keep, you know, not that necessarily dragging him back or dragging Taker back, but you can't keep relying on these guys, you know, to pull them out of, you know, these doldrum spots. You have to be creating, you know, at least Cena level acts, if not, you know, Rock, Austin, Hogan level acts.
Right. And I do think that most of the time it's the way they end up pushing people that ends up being the problem more than the act themselves. You know, because they really could have had Roman Reigns in a good spot or a better spot than they did. I think he was finally starting, you know, I think after the Lesnar match, he did have a really good match with him up until the time that Seth Rollins came in.
Well, that was the right call. That was absolutely. But, we'll probably get into Seth later.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I think people were starting to respect him, and now he's just again stuck in this never-ending feud.
Yeah.
With Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, this feud has not helped him at all. I mean, it was a good idea on paper. He's got this evil force keeping him from achieving his goals and achieving his dreams, but it just has not. It hasn't clicked in that way. I mean, there was definitely. And, you know, they're still scripting Roman. He did not need to go on and on about the history of his feud with Bray Wyatt before having a match with Braun Strowman. That was not going to be an exciting match to begin with, you know. And
yeah, and it wasn't going to be an exciting topic.
Did you catch the moment when Roman, I believe, was trying to wear down Braun Strowman with like a chin lock, and fans started chanting "boring," and Reigns actually looked in the crowd and said, no, it's not. So it's like, it's starting to get to him. He's not John Cena.
Yeah, I might have missed that detail.
I did. I actually did too, but multiple people have mentioned that did in fact happen. Clear as day, have seen him. I'm sorry, I didn't see it myself. mouth. No, it's not boring. Or no, it isn't. You know, so it was moments like that. Like, it's a bribe. That's also a bribe practice of them, as we talked about last week, trying to make the guy John Cena, trying to make him the next John Cena.
Yeah, for as much as they want to talk about, I mean, I feel like they try not to overproduce sometimes, or at least they project that aura that they just need to, you know, emphasize themselves. I don't think that they get to emphasize themselves enough still, you know, because he was being built the exact same way as Cena, and it just wasn't. The stuff isn't working because things are just different now.
Right, no, this is.
And like you said, they're stuck in the same formula of the 90s, and you know, things have. They've just changed.
Yeah, I mean.
And they haven't changed with them at all. Like, well, in the women's division is really a perfect thing to talk about.
Boy.
And I mean, I know Jeremy and I touched on it in our little column, but I mean, it still bears to mention. Like, I just don't feel like I can pass up saying it. Like, they show the highlights of the 30-minute match, and then they take it to a 4-minute in-ring match with a distraction finish.
Yeah, and
I mean, they honestly showed the chasm between the quality of the two in that segment.
Yeah, they absolutely did. I mean, and it seemed to be by design, keep Sasha out of the match, make people chant for Sasha Banks. It's becoming pretty obvious that Team Bad, you know, we mentioned it for a couple of weeks now, Team Bad does not seem to be long for this world. Thank goodness, although, once again, I think they needed to do, just take a page from Lana and Rusev and just end it. Just end this whole team nonsense once and for all. But no long and drawn out storyline. Just they're just going their separate ways. It's an individual game. Everyone wants the Divas Championship. So let's just everyone is now focused on their goal to become the Divas Champ.
I mean, you can make a pecking order, and I mean they kind of have one for the most part, right now, but. You could still just have singles matches for the women's, you know, to move up in the women's division. And, I mean, I think that everyone is at least passable in the ring. Like, as much as I don't like the Bellas, or at least think that they improved to be mediocre, you know, they're at least mediocre now. Like, I mean, they can put on a half-decent match with... Because most of the other women know how to wrestle better than them.
Right, yeah. They're fine. They can have good matches. I don't know if they're... Well, I guess maybe we'll see it Hell in a Cell with Nikki and Charlotte if... You know, Nikki can rise above good to great, and have to do something comparable with the NXT women, which not on that level. Maybe even where the NXT women were even just a year ago, and not when things really kind of blew up. You know, this year with women of NXT,
right?
But yeah, I mean, everyone's passable. Well. Maybe with the exception of she's in the bodyguard role, you know, that's fine if they want to keep her around.
Right.
But yeah, everyone else is fine.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think that that's one of those things that, I think it would help viewership if they actually pushed that. Like, I know that the women are now definitely getting 2 segments every week. Like, there is that minor improvement. But, I mean, an extra 4 to 6 minutes a week just still isn't enough. Like, I mean, again, the rating goes down. They have enough time to flesh all of these women out. You can't do it all in 1 week. But it can be done.
Yeah.
And it would probably help bring viewers in if they really legitimately got behind this. Like, and I guess everyone's been worried about it. So, I mean, you know, in one respect, to me, they have given them a little more time, but it's literally a little more time.
Right. It's exactly what it is, and it's not. It's just more time. It's what are you doing at that time? You know what is the quality of the content that you're putting out? And thus far, other than maybe a few moments, it hasn't been very good at all. And last night again continued that trend of just not very good. You know, the matches were. I mean, I guess. Work-wise, the matches were fine that they put on, but there was no spark to any of it. There was nothing that made you feel like this was important at all.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be taking Nikki seriously, and she has to win a match with a distraction. Like, you should be making her look strong, especially against And again, like, I think it's pretty clear that Naomi is near the bottom of the diva totem pole at this moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's absolutely at the bottom.
So, like, the fact that they can't give Nikki just a clean win over her to help build her up is just one of those things. Just like, come on, man. Like, you've got to recognize your own doing here. Help some people out.
Right. But no, they had their story that they wanted to tell about, you know, the Bellas causing dissension in Team Bad. That, well, that's the thing about this whole, I don't want Sasha Banks to go babyface. She's a natural heel. You know, so if this ends up with her babyface against Naomi, do her any favors? I mean, the matches will be fine and all, but once again, it's not where they need to be.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's not worth belaboring the point, but I mean, it just still needs to be said that it's one of those things to me that it really would help viewers if they put a real concerted effort behind it.
Yeah. They got to stop seeing it as a sideshow and booking the division as like a miniature version of the men's division. It's like the show within a show type of deal.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why they can't get it through their thick skulls. That
you don't need to have 8-9 people on screen at a time. They don't need to be, you know, yelling and screaming at each other and just, you know, in doing a PG version of what, you know, TNA women were doing when they were just calling each other bitches and hoes every week in promos years back during Vince Russo's Reign of Terror. As head writer there, it's just that they're athletes fighting for championships, and there's personal rivalries are born out of that. It's that simple. It's what they do in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just continues to be the craziest thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, what they created last Wednesday, I just totally blown away. Everything about the presentation of Bayley versus Sasha. I don't want to use the word perfect, but it was great. It was everything, you know, everything it should have been. I wouldn't say that it beat expectations because expectations were so high, but it definitely met expectations.
Yeah, they delivered a very good match. You know, I don't know if it's like a pantheon. It's gonna be memorable because it's the first Iron Woman match.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely something that people will remember. I mean, it's, you know, and right up there with the match in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, the overall presentation of it. I haven't watched everything from Japan this year. I haven't watched, supposedly, you know, down in Mexico City, they had, they every year they do a match at their big show. They do a mask versus mask match, and the whole presentation of these things, because what mask means in Mexico, are, you know, fantastic. But in American wrestling, maybe not so much the ring work, but the emotion of it. There has been nothing in American wrestling like that this year.
I have not kept up with my Japanese wrestling. There seem to be a growing chorus of advocates for it.
There indeed are.
And I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, again, like, I feel really bad, like, because, again, I like a lot of the guys in the ring right now for the WWE, but, and even a lot of the ladies in the ring. It's one of those things that I feel bad for them, but I understand why people are turning to turning to other measures satiate their wrestling needs.
Yeah, we love it. We absolutely do. I mean, WWE itself has created its own alternative brand, the main roster. Triple H is in charge of this brand. You know, it's a crazy world, and, you know, they're getting in bed with Gabe Sapolsky and Evolve, and you know, Bubba Parsley, because they want to keep talent away from Ring of Honor, but, you know, it's just, you know, Ring of Honor's got their own, you know, got their own thing. Underground's coming back. They're New Japan has a presence on, you know, U.S. television, and you have the ability to, you know, purchase you know, English feeds of the big Japanese shows now. Granted, Matt Stryker's one of the commentators, but, you know, what can you do? But so yeah, you have there's a lot of options for the wrestling fan's attention nowadays. Well, it's a great thing.
yeah, and I mean, that is kind of one of the interesting things. People, and I guess it'll be interesting to see if the WWE ends up getting to perceive any of them as a rival, any of the Japanese companies.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, yeah, the Japanese companies.
Because I think that, what is that? I was about to call it Nacho Libre, but I know that that's not it.
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground.
Yeah, Lucha Underground's on, you know, LRA Network, which almost nobody gets here. If you want to watch the show, you have to find a link somewhere, or catch the YouTube before they take it. The YouTube before they take it down. I mean, New Japan's on Access TV, which is, you know, better, but still not. I don't have access.
Yeah, I don't get it either. So I don't watch it. I know Jeremy does get that.
Right, but once again, but you know, as the potential viewership for these networks grows, or if they make deals with other, I mean, you know, Spike TV has, you know, they've never closed the door on having a new wrestling show on, and maybe something completely different would be making a deal with New Japan. They already have, you know, kickboxing from Tokyo on, you know, at least once a month. You know, maybe you do run, you know, Japanese wrestling shows, you know, once a month or something. You know, and mixing that in with their Friday night fight lineup, similar to what Access does.
Oh, yeah, and it would definitely get at least some sort of viewership here in the States.
Right, but right now I think the only thing that WWE sees as competition, at least competition NXT, is Ring of Honor, which is why they are making it. They are working with Evolve and Gabe Sapolsky, yeah, to, you know, funnel any potential talent to Evolve, because they don't want to take anyone who's got ROH TV exposure at this point.
Yeah, and that was kind of interesting with the ROH viewing this week, because I have done a piss poor job of keeping up on talent leaving TNA. And I guess I was surprised by the arrival of one Kenny King back in ROH.
And Kenny King, yeah. If you ever get the time, I think it was Thursday before, about 42 minutes into Jim Cornette's podcast at MLW Radio. He just lays in, because he was booking an ROH at the time when Kenny, you know, left while him and Red Titus were still the tag team champions. So he just laid into Kenny something fierce about, you know, just, he has no respect, he has no loyalty, ROH shouldn't have even brought him back. I haven't been the biggest Cornette fan over the years, but that was a pretty good burial, I'll have to say.
Yeah, he did leave them in the lurch quite a bit. But
and now he's left TNA with months and months of episodes with his matches on them still there, still going to be airing between now and the end of the year, and the end of the year apparently. And he is not the only one.
You know, there are just a couple of things, okay, but, and I want to get back to TNA itself later, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, when I first saw the picture of James Storm with the NXT background, I thought, that looks photoshopped.
No, it was the real deal. He debuted last week at the tapings. He had a match, so he is going to, you know, be a wrestler on NXT, and I guess assume some sort of a player coach role similar to Samoa Joe. I don't believe they have any intention to bring him up to the main roster. It's just to work in NXT.
Well, he would certainly need to do some working. He is not in the best shape of his career.
I mean, and you know what? I almost don't blame the guy. I mean, they absolutely blew it. He just, you know, they did everything wrong with, you know, his feud with Bobby Roode. It may have been the last gasp of anything TNA had that would possibly have made them any money at all, and they just completely blew it. So I feel bad for the guy. So it's good that he's gonna get this run.
Yeah, well, and I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, how long ago was that?
That was about three or four years ago now, I believe. Because they carried on a feud for a year, and they just blew because.
Yeah,
Storm lost the big match clean to Bobby Roode, and then Aries ended up winning the title from Roode, but then I don't know how I remember all this, and then Jeff Hardy beat Aries for the title, taking TNA back, you know, 2 years in progress, and then the next year and a half of television was basically Hulk Hogan versus the Aces, and Aces took over.
Oh, wow. Taking me down memory lane. Why can't I say memory? Maybe I need a drink of water.
Wow, I can't believe I can remember all that.
Yeah, like I said, you took me down memory lane. Memory lane. Why can I say that? Even after the water, I can't blame it on a dry tongue now. But anyway, Storm, he wasn't going anywhere. Like, we didn't really, you thought that he was a better Bray Wyatt. I just thought that the way they booked him was even more poorly done than Bray Wyatt. So I guess I didn't see that in him, but
I was really down on Bray Wyatt at the time. But yeah, I mean he put together an even worse collection of Motley Fools,
and the
Mahabali Shira has been infected on, and the Shira Shake has been infected on the world. So you know. Fuck his gimmick for that.
Yeah, I mean, that just didn't work at all. Because that breakup, they never really, like, they never, because it's funny, Vince Russo may not be there, but his writing tendencies live on.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get groups together. And it's just like, oh, okay, I can see the potential. And then it's just like, you're breaking them up already? I don't yeah. like they just got together like 2 months ago. Like the, you've got to go longer than that. Like, I understand that it's a more fast-paced world or whatever, but you can drag the storyline out longer than 4 months.
Well, I think that they had to, you know, take it to its end, you know, because, well, number one, Teeny doesn't even know if they're going to exist until in 2016, and number two, I think that James Storm really wanted out. I think that that train fiasco with Mickey James just killed it. Just absolutely seemed to have killed him. Just as far as him having any belief in this company anymore, and that he was literally in since day one. He was literally on that first show in 2002. So, yeah, I think that, you know, they just needed to come just haphazardly as they did, just put an end to the, what was the stable even called again? I don't remember off the top of my head.
The most recent one? See, yeah, that's how much attention I pay. I don't remember.
I
the Revolution.
The Revolution, okay. I kept wanting to think The Rising, but that was Drew McIntyre and his team of jobbers.
Which, yeah, was just another example of together for a month or two and then broke up.
I still couldn't pick the other two guys out of the lineup. Or I could have their faces in front of me, and I couldn't put a name to the face.
Unfortunately, because Ian Drake had a small feud with Drew McIntyre, I would recognize his face. The other guy.
Yeah, I wasn't watching at that point. I did watch last Wednesday's show just because I wanted to see what they did with this world title fiasco. I mean, there's two schools of thought with it. Number one, they've had this planned all the way to July. And number two, they had all this stuff of this World Cup style series tape, but it was for another purpose as far as their one night only pay per views. But they decided to retroactively make it for the world title because something was pointed out to me that I didn't catch when I watched by Dave Meltzer on Observer Radio that I didn't catch when I watched the show on Wednesday when they were doing all those sit down interviews. Have you watched the show yet?
Oh yeah. I watched the first one there because I guess that's why I wanted to talk about it. That's just another weird one to me. But finish your story.
Yeah, because during the sit down interviews, those were taped in July. Not one person talked about wanting to win the world title. That pretty much tells you right there that this was not planned. This was not planned at all. There's going to be not one person could have promo about how much they want to win the world title.
I did not pay attention to that myself.
I didn't pay attention to that myself either. This was something that they are kind of throwing together, you know, using old footage, but, and who knows, for all you know, they tape things in a certain order, but who's to say they don't air it in a certain, in a different order? And oh my goodness, when this production team has to, you know, piece things together, it's been already been taped in a certain order. There have been multiple disasters over the years.
You know, and I guess that's the funny thing. I watched that show, and I guess I kind of like the concept that they're going with. With this tournament, I kind of like
it's laid out well. I will give them credit for that. Whatever this was supposed to be when they taped it, they obviously did put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah, and I like the idea of having all four of the contestants just sit down and not have a brawl erupt. And just do sit down at a desk, kind of like a Sports Center, ESPN-y type environment.
Yeah, and cut
promos and talk about, their opponents.
And I like that Josh and and Hope now actually have a real studio with, you know, a leaderboard behind them. You know,
oh, please, no, you didn't just say that.
It's better than the closet. It's better than the closet they used to be in.
I don't. Those graphics are horrific.
Well, they only had a few. I guess they only had a few days to kind of throw this thing together. So I'll give them a little bit of a leeway on that, and the fact that yes, they are in fact finally out of the closet. That didn't sound right, but yeah. But no, I mean the next about 2 months or so of TNA are actually going to be, you know, just like this. It's gonna be, you know, the sit down interview stuff. Josh and Pope for the leaderboard, and just, you know, the wrestling matches without a lot of bullshit. So TNA in the next 2 months might actually be the most watchable it has been in a long time.
Yeah, because they, like you said, no matter it's, well, at least to me, no matter it's what its real intended purpose was, they have done a good job, at least from an enjoyment level, of laying this out. It's going to be hilarious to see a couple of guys who aren't there in this product.
That's the part that, you know, what the true intention of this thing was, the fact that it doesn't appear that, you know, we're going to have anybody cutting any promos about the prize at the end, and that, yes, that one of the guys on this show is going to be on a show on the same network at a different time slot, and the show after them. And then
and probably get more exposure.
Well, once again, if you combine all the syndication with the Destination America number, yeah, ROH has more viewers than TNA and a bigger potential universe than TNA. And then one guy is actually in WWE, who's going to be on TNA, still all over TNA TV for the next 2 months.
Yeah,
it really is amazing.
And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know that in the past, Triple H has said that he wouldn't want to nab anyone from TNA.
Yeah, and I guess I understand his point. They want to take as much credit as they can for building people from scratch. They don't want people with what they perceive as bad habits and maybe an aversion to learning the WWE style. So I do get that.
Well, and I think because didn't Storm re-sign before that storyline went sideways?
Well, he agreed to come back to finish out. And yeah, I'm sure he got his money up front to come back for that last set of tapings they did. Everything we're going to be watching now until the time that they start taping in India was taped in all the way in July.
That's a while ago, and it's going to end up looking dated at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely is. I mean, but once again, they actually have the potential for some enjoyable TV. If you put out take the business stupidity out of the equation, the actual quality of the shows for the next couple of months might actually be pretty good.
Yeah. So that's that is kind of amusing.
And of course, though, speaking of business stupidity, that leads us to TNA's Halloween weekend swing of the Mid-South region that has been canceled due to low ticket sales.
I mean, they are not playing big venues.
No, and they still can't sell because they chose Halloween weekend. People have better things to do, especially just to go see a cold product that is just, it really is. It's colder than probably the word for it. It is a dead product.
Yeah, dead. I mean, as enjoyable as these next few weeks of programming is, Overall, it's a disaster because it's not furthering any. It's furthering one story that has no real point. In some ways,
I just don't know if they're gonna find a new. They're already getting booted off of a digital tier, a low level digital tier channel. If you think about it. Who's
right.
gonna want to pay them for the product? I mean, and who want to get into business with these people? Dixie has lied to and tried to pull one over on one television partner, and then the other television partner, she writes up this mean, scathing, insulting, email, company wide email, ripping on the president of Discovery Networks. And then accidentally CCs the president of the Discovery Networks in that email and sends it out. Would you want to be in business with these people?
No. And, yeah, I don't really blame anyone for what they've done. Like, I would not watch Destination America for any other reason than TNA Impact or Impact Wrestling. So that will go on the pay no mind list after that's over. But I don't think that they really care if TNA goes away.
No, they really don't. And so I don't know if I see them, getting another. Right now, if you're a TV network out there, why would you want this proven failure run by morons? There seems to be no upside in this company now. I mean, and maybe you wouldn't even want Jeff Jarrett either because it's just too much. I don't know if you saw. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently it's just the promo reel for Jeff Jarrett's GFW just looks exactly like a TNA show. It was filmed at the Impact Zone. It was filmed in New Orleans Arena in Vegas.
That guy has been talking about that promotion for more years, and I guess there is something to it, but it has had, I mean, TNA has been its only buzz. And that is a very, very low amount of buzz.
Yeah, it absolutely is a low amount of buzz. I just, once again, why would anyone want a product that's very much like TNA, or where Chris Masters and Kurt Hawkins are essentially your stars, I mean.
Yeah, and I actually like the one, at least from what I saw his work, I think his name was Trevor Lee.
I mean,
I liked his in-ring work, but his presentation needs a lot of work.
Right, yeah, it definitely does. Looks way too much like Daniel Bryan, and there's already a Daniel Bryan. There's already a Daniel Bryan in wrestling, so it's just. I know Goldberg got over with a bald head and black trunks, but that was a completely different thing. So I think the guy definitely needs to upgrade his look. But yeah, I guess if I'm a kind of get back around to the main point, if I'm a television station that does want a wrestling show, I think maybe Ring of Honor would be your best bet as far as something that, with the right minds behind you, with the right business, acumen behind it, with the right marketing, with upgraded production, that you could actually make a go of it to actually have something that with growth potential, or, take a risk on something from Japan or Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, ROH has not been head shaking for about a year now.
Yeah, you've pretty much retired ROH, which is the worst at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, them and TNA were battling for a while, but as much as I'm still not that big of a fan of Jay Lethal, they have been very consistent with his push. They have featured him as, you know, the special thing that he is. When he does finally lose, it will mean something.
Yeah. The world champion actually gets to beat people. What a novel concept. But we'll go on with ROH. Maybe we can finish with Seth Rollins. But yeah, ROH is usually a pretty good show. I'm gonna say, I think that they may have relied on, you know, these special shows with the New Japan guys a little too much over the summer. But once again, they had good matches, and, you know, good shows that were for the last few months as well too. So, you know, I really did like the when I finally saw it. I really liked the presentation of last week's episode. I thought the baseball stadium with the lighted up Ferris wheel in the background, I thought that was actually a really, really cool, you know, atmosphere for a wrestling show. I mean, they should be commended for that. And the Okada Roddick Strong match was also, you know, very good.
Right. Yeah, they had some good matches on that.
And of course, you know, again, the New Japan guys are going to be spending more time in the U.S. and Ring of Honor next year. You know, they'll be more integrated into the storylines that they've been introduced. You know, who they are. You know, what they can do now. So I think ROH is actually primed for hope. You know, the potential for growth is there, and especially with the New Japan partnership.
Yeah, that really only helps them because I feel like it's kind of crazy, and I've mentioned this before, but I feel like Jay Lethal needed to spend more time over in Japan. I feel like AJ Styles and the Young Bucks have spent enough time over in Japan that I don't know why people seem to have, at least some people seem to have, an aversion to the WWE style. But they're okay being educated over in Japan.
Right, yeah, they've all learned a lot in Japan.
So, I don't think Lethal maybe spent as much time over there.
I don't know if he spent any, really.
I think that would really help him a lot. Because AJ Styles was so stale in TNA. And with his run over there in Japan, like, every time I see him on ROH now, I'm like, ah, man, I think this guy really kind of picked it up a little bit here. Like, there wasn't a challenge in TNA.
Yeah, he's had an incredible, you know, last nearly 2 years. I mean, I typically watch the big show matches from Japan, and yeah, he is absolutely... He's better there than he is in Ring of Honor, but then it's also just kind of the quality of his opponents typically over there as well. You know, he rises, you know, up to. But yeah, AJ's been really, really good. You know, the Young Bucks annoy me less than they ever have. Not saying they still don't annoy me, but they annoy me less. They annoy me more in an actual good heel way.
Yeah, they annoy me just because they look like weasels.
Yeah.
But I think and that was cracking me up that Jeremy didn't like the whole super kick party thing. Because I think it's kind of funny.
I do respect them for when people like Jeremy go off on the super kick party, the Young Bucks' answer is, more super kicks. I mean, I think it's not really Jeremy. They don't know who Jeremy is. But I think they have dedicated the rest of their lives to proving Jim Cornette wrong. I, I believe that is the source of a lot of their motivation.
Oh man! Well, it probably helps that because they are mostly in New Japan, they are they're less or they come over more than the regular New Japan guys.
Right. I mean, but they're still only on one out of every 4 episodes.
Right. Yeah. So they're still pretty limited.
It's still a special. I mean, of course, now AJ Styles is the number one contender to the Ring of Honor Championship, so they are going to go with AJ versus Jay Lethal at some point in the near future, and maybe that'll be the time for a title change, and because now that AJ's no longer the IWGP World Champion in Japan, he can focus a little bit more on Ring of Honor, and he could stand a loss or two, because that was a big thing while he was the champion for New Japan, is that He couldn't lose
in Ring of Honor. Yeah. And I think we lost all of our time.
Oh, so you can't go on your rant about Seth Rollins and the fact that he hasn't won a single match in the last month as world champion. Or he's only won one match. Excuse me.
Oh.
You got this built up for a while, and I know, because you first wanted to get into it a few weeks ago.
I don't think I wanted to get into it, because I honestly was not aware that Seth Rollins has not won that many matches. Like, no. It's one of those things, and I don't know if it's for the best. The WWE, it kind of comes, I write about it, and sometimes it goes by the time we're doing this on Tuesday evening. So, you know, I guess I just forget about some things like that from time to time.
Right.
Quickly. Or, like, I don't string everything together. Because I guess I like the Seth Rollins act for the most part. He makes me laugh. He's good in the ring again, yeah. Like going back to that in-ring product thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a heel. He should be a little cowardly. Maybe he's a little too cowardly, and I think he's bulletproof, so therefore that's why they feel like they feel comfortable having him lose some. It isn't good. I mean,
yeah, he needs a few more wins.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Hell in a Cell will be his next big clean win. I mean, no BS, no nothing. It's just Kane.
Yeah, I cannot fathom them not going with a clean win on this one. Like, if they don't, I will be happy that I'm most likely not reviewing that show.
Right.
So, if I am, that could make me angry.
Right. And one quick note, apparently the WWE ESPN relationship is going to be just that on ESPN News every week, Jonathan Coachman will be interviewing a wrestler and giving a WWE superstar and showing highlights of the week in WWE. So this will certainly be a test of how sports fans accept the wrestling being mingled in with their real sports.
You know, that's another thing. As much as I watch sports, those types of shows are something that I stay away from like the plague. I just can't handle that attitude. So I just go about my business. yeah, I am really drying up over here tonight.
Yeah. you seem to be. You definitely, maybe you need more beer.
No, what's I think. What's that beer again? Oh, 5C Pale Ale. It's still tasting pretty good. It's kind of Dogfish Head IPA.
I'll just hear Rickford on that one.
Well, they're a great brewery out of the Delaware region. And they continuously hop their beer for some amount of minutes. They have 30, 45, 60, 90 minute. So they have a lot of variations on it, but they all taste kind of similar. I'm thinking this is around the 60 minute or at least a little closer to it flavor wise. Yeah, so still liking it. Just making sure that everything's A-okay. Like it'll last another 2 weeks if it's lasted this long, because right. This was one of the earlier beers. Actually, I think this was the fourth beer out of 8, because one isn't getting served at the wedding, and the other 7 are. So there is that. Yeah. So this is me at DeFrango11. That is at Chris Calamita. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Everybody have a good night.